everybody. Welcome to episode 81 of Cracking the Spine in this 81st week of us doing the show. My name is Sean.
I'm Zane.
I'm here, and I'm Josh.
Hey, guys.
It's good that we've, I think we set a record, 81 weeks in a row.
Consecutively 81 weeks. I feel like it's like the Cal Ripken Jr. of podcasts.
Yeah.
Weirdly, though.
Go ahead.
It's 2017.
Well, yeah, 2017 divided by 81 is 69, dude. Don't check me out on that. It's totally fine. So it feels like it's been a while, but I feel like time has sort of stretched itself out since, you know, a certain day in January of 2017. That
my mom's birthday?
My mom's birthday is also in January.
Whoa, is she a Capricorn?
Maybe. I don't know.
That's what my mom is.
January 27th.
No, that's Aquarius.
That's my mom. She's an Aquarius, which is what I was going to say if you didn't interrupt.
Sorry.
But you interrupted.
It's been a while.
It's only been a week.
Yeah. It feels like a while, though.
Well, again, because of certain things that have happened that made things feel different.
Forever.
And ever. That are unfixable, and our institutions won't save us. Anyway, Zane, what are you reading?
Well, it's been a short week, so I am still reading The Graveyard Apartment.
Oh, okay.
Because, when we don't record, once a week, I don't feel the need to read very much. Not even, I don't feel the need, but I feel less like... Everything I'm going to say is going to make it sound like I only read under duress, which isn't true, but I like having I like having a goal to, like, meet sort of like, well, I have to get this book read by such and such a day because, you know, we'll all be together and I want to make it sound like I read.
That is the exact opposite of how I live my life.
So I don't read as well. And then, like, the other day we talked about recording this and I was like, I got to start reading again. But
it's funny, you're making apologies for not reading, and no one's asked me yet, so
keep going,
but you're reading
because we were still talking about me.
Yes, I know.
We're not at you yet. We're at her.
Me.
What the hell, dude?
This is my segment.
Oftentimes turns into the two of yours segment.
It's the longest 81 weeks ever. But literally.
Anyway, The Graveyard Apartment is good. I'll definitely finish it.
Are you at least engaged
in it? I like it. It's hard because it's translated.
Right?
What
is it translated from?
Japanese.
Okay.
I have trouble with translated texts in general just because I always feel like
Something was lost,
or like sometimes a sentence will come up and it's like, that's not exactly the feel that they wanted for that
especially
sentence.
Japanese, where they have a lot of things that don't translate to
there's some slang in there that's like American slang, and I'm like it kind of jumps out at you, but this particular novel, honestly, what I struggle with the most is the names and keeping straight, just because they're names that I don't have like a touchstone for,
Vegeta.
They're names that I'm not familiar with. So a lot of times, like, when they come back up, I'm like, wait, is that the mom? Is that the dad? Because, like, they don't even read as gendered to me.
Yeah.
So I just have trouble. It reminds me of, like, reading, like, Russian novels and stuff where you're like, who? Because it's just, like, surnames that you don't, that you're not familiar with.
Having read this novel, my issue with it was not, I actually did not get hung up on the names because I think that there's not a lot of characters.
No, I know, but it's like a little thing that like I have to keep reminding myself like who everyone is.
But my hang up was the translation because it's very culturally Japanese.
Yes.
Like there's a lot of, I'm going to be very broad in my paraphrasing, but there's a lot of like, you would never act like that when you were a child and we were younger brother and sister.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is like, it's very culturally Japanese and it's very clearly translated into English.
Yes. Yeah. Which like, it's good and I can see where it's going and I'm excited to get there.
Mm-hmm.
But there's there's always something lost in translated text. Like, it's very rare that I read a translated novel that I'm like, this is a really good translation.
I'm wondering where you think it's going, because I'm wondering if that's where it's actually going
to
go.
Well, I could be wrong. That'll be fun to find out.
Did you hear that? She could be wrong, Josh.
That's never been said by her.
That's true. You've never said that in 81
episode weeks, continuous weeks.
Okay.
Especially considering you weren't here for, like, the first 8 weeks.
Oh, yeah, that's right. True. That was when the show was completely different.
Right.
What was that like? Flashback noise.
Hey, guys. Sean here for Cracking Spine. I'm right. Hey, Lauren, how's it going?
It's going really good, Sean.
Okay, cool.
Idiot.
Boy, that was nice. It's good to go back in time and listen to how things used to be 80 weeks ago.
Oh, man.
Anyway, Sean, what are you reading?
I have been reading, I can't remember if I mentioned it last week, I've been reading a book called The Sellout by Paul Beatty.
I don't think so.
No, yeah. I don't remember this.
Okay.
Last week you were reading A Christmas Carol.
I finished A Christmas Carol. Really good book.
You started reading A Christmas Carol in January?
Yes.
Weird.
Last week.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, what's the book called that you're reading?
It's called The Sellout. It's the first book novel written by an American to win the Man Booker Prize, which is a really prestigious British award.
Hmm. So it's the Man Booker Prize.
It's more the Man Book Prize. But it's a story. It's written by an African-American. Mm-hmm. And it's a story of a black guy. It's very satirical. It's almost like Ambrose Bierce levels of satire. Like, it's very conscious of its place in history.
Okay.
And it's the story of a black guy from a neighborhood in Los Angeles who resegregates his neighborhood and hires a slave and is called before the Supreme Court to defend himself.
Okay.
And in, like, the beginning of the novel, when he's, like, the story is told in flashbacks, so the beginning of the novel is he and his lawyer are sitting in the Supreme Court waiting for the judges to come in, justices to come in, and he sparks a joint.
Mm-hmm.
And it's... Mm-hmm. Really beautifully written, and it's really intelligent, and it's very high-minded and literary, and I've been slogging through it since November.
November?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's just, it's, I don't know if it's me, I don't know if it's the book, I don't know if it's the fact that I've got Netflix downloads on my phone now.
That might be it.
But it's,
some books, though, it's not even that they're bad. You're just not motivated to continue.
That's my the question.
That's
is
my whole life.
My motivation. Like, am I not reading it because I don't like it? I really love it. It's really brilliantly written. Like, every sentence is genius. But it's just, it's hard to get through.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So
I should just spark up a joint and try to read it. That might help you.
I don't smoke pot anymore.
Anymore?
Yeah.
We had a drug user on this show?
No, even before the show started. A drug user? Okay, anyway. Take it easy there, Trump.
Sad.
Sad.
Oh, God. I did get my hands recently on an advanced copy of the next John Scalzi book.
Yeah.
He's one of my favorite science fiction writers. We talked about him before. Red Shirts.
Oh, yes.
And his new book is called...
Blue Shirts.
It has nothing... No, the title is... And by the way, it has nothing to do with current events. But okay. It's called The Collapsing Empire.
Well, maybe it does.
No, it doesn't.
I saw a tweet about it where he was like, it's just kind of fortuitous that it turned out that way.
No, it's...
I mean, fortuitous for...
His book, not the rest of it.
Not like in general.
Exactly, yeah. It's about, only based on reading the back cover, something to do with faster than light speed. and
oh, cool.
people doing mutiny stuff.
Oh, neat.
So,
so put that one on your list of stuff not to read, Jeff.
I will. Yeah. I definitely will. John Scousy.
But I will also toss out, it's not a book that I've been reading, but it's a show that I've watched based on books that I love.
We could do that? I could have done this the whole time?
You had to have read the books.
Oh, I had to have read the books.
Well, to match what
Go.
I'm about to say.
Talk oh, words.
Boy.
Netflix has produced an 8-episode arc of the first 4 books of A Series of Unfortunate Events by Lemony Snicket. And I am the rare book person who thinks that the Series of Unfortunate Events by Lemony Snicket are actually superior to anything J.K. Rowling has ever written.
Oh, man.
And I think that the Netflix series captures what the books were supposed to be much more than the movie with Jim Carrey.
Yeah. I didn't see that one.
If you get a chance, watch the Netflix series.
Netflix. It's only 8 episodes?
Yeah, it's 4.
That's probably perfect.
Yeah.
Because the Marvel things are a little too many episodes.
Yeah.
There's a lot of filler in there.
They're like 13 episodes or something.
And it could be like 10.
And there's really good like cameos in it, like Joan Cusack and Asaf Manvi and what's her name? Catherine O'Hara.
Oh, I love Catherine O'Hara.
Catherine O'Hara shows up. I'm only 2 episodes in.
Oh, you're watching it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I was expecting you to either defend Harry Potter or...
I'm not going to get into that with you. Also, I've never read...
Future Show.
I've never read Lemony Snicket, so yeah. I know... I can't comment on it.
Oh. So you're watching a show for a book that you never read?
Yes.
Welcome back, everybody.
I kind of feel like I missed the window of opportunity to, like, get into those books.
They're still out there in print. You can read them.
Yes.
Oh, in print?
The window of opportunity is...
But they made a show about it,
you know,
so just watch that.
It's my fault. I took the bait. I took the bait. It's my fault.
You didn't take the bait. You put the chum in the water yourself.
This is a family show. Can we please not say cum?
Fair enough. We shan't. Josh, what are you doing these days?
I've been reading a lot of news.
What was the last book that you were reading? Was it Devil in the White City?
Mm-hmm, sure was.
You never finished it, right?
Never finished it.
In fairness, though, it was only like 6 weeks ago.
Yeah. It's a big book.
It might have been more than just 6 weeks ago, guys.
Stop looking back
there. I mean,
6
episodes.
Yeah. 6 weeks ago.
6 weeks ago?
Yeah, that's what
Yeah, 6
right.
weeks ago. Yeah. Just stop looking at it. Just stop. Stop doing what you're doing.
Zane's looking at her copious notes.
I'm just going, it's hard because all
this is a novel. I wish they could see this thing. This is a novel.
This actually looks like an artifact from the Lemony Snicket, like, universe.
What are you writing when we're doing the show, Zane?
I write down all
the
books that we read.
Or don't. In some people's case.
Well, I write down all the books that we talk about.
Okay.
It looks like you were definitely reading it, like, on episode 64.
I'm glad we have a bureaucracy on the show.
Hey, listen. In this modern America,
definitely
it's
like
nice to have
60s.
A written record of some stuff.
That's true.
So that's like 20 weeks.
Somebody's incompetence should be written down and held accountable.
Exactly.
20 weeks!
Fake book news.
15 weeks. We'll call it 15.
All right. That sounds a little better than 20.
We can round up to 100.
God damn it.
You're not going to finish it. That's
I'm going to finish it.
Yeah, I'm sure.
When the movie comes out, I'll make a push and finish it.
What's going on when you left off?
Oh my God, I don't remember. But
they were building
take,
Chicago.
Take your hands away from your mouth because you're doing
I'm
an
thinking.
Audio podcast.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
He was married to the lady and the dad was like, his father-in-law was like, also a businessman.
He's got it. I mean, he's clearly reading.
I know he's reading.
Okay.
But that's about, I don't
well,
remember.
I believe it when he says he's reading.
Don't look for allies on
the
show.
The father-in-law was a cattle guy, right? He had like he owned the cattle. I looked up the statue. I remember the statue or the building has like a statue on it.
Oh,
it's still
like
there.
The slaughterhouse.
Yeah, it's still there in Chicago to this day.
Not for long, Trump, am I right? I don't know.
We're raising Chicago now. It's next
episode. He's going to send troops in. All right. Whatever. All right, let's take
We're all on the same side. We're all on the same side.
We all agree.
No yelling.
Okay. Let's not yell. Let's take a little break, though.
Okay.
And when we come back,
maybe more yelling.
Spine. I'm Zane.
I guess Zane's bringing it back. I'm the other guy, Josh.
She said she was going to bring it back.
I said I was going to bring it back.
Yeah, it's,
we didn't agree.
You got to pay attention.
We didn't vote.
We don't even talk about it. It's not so my bringing it back. It's so naturally and fluid that happens.
So, Zane, what are we talking about?
Dude, that was perfect.
I don't know. It's a good thing you asked me because I'm Zane. Take it away, Josh.
Well, I'm still doing
Facebook, Twitter.
What a show! Welcome back.
81 weeks.
What a nightmare!
Lauren, come back.
So, last week or earlier this week, Josh tweeted about us recording.
Yeah,
and asked his Twitter followers, by exception.
They're all the same. They all blend.
Well, not numerically.
Well, if I keep up what I'm doing, it's going to be pretty close.
I'm pretty sure all of our followers are your followers, but not the other.
It's like
way
a square is a rectangle, but a rectangle is not a square.
Yes.
No,
I buy that analogy, yes.
Basically, everyone that wrote back to us said the same thing, like something about the current political climate. A bunch of different people brought up 1984. And
I was one.
Just how, like, fiction helps us deal with these times, or why it's important when shit happens.
Well, yeah, when things are tumultuous, when
right.
the current status quo becomes a different kind of status quo.
Sure, that's a euphemism you could use.
Well, I mean, look, I've learned that I don't need to be as strident about things publicly.
Sure.
That's not even accurate. Anyway, the 1984 thing that's been going on was brought about for lack of, you know, if I'm not looking to blame, but the current administration put someone out on the news who, when asked clearly about truth,
factual
information about the number of people that attended the inauguration,
right,
versus factual information about the number of people who attended the previous inauguration,
right,
used the term alternative facts. And, you know, a lot of people responded intelligently, I think, that the phrase alternative facts
is
a very doublespeak, newspeak kind of thing about it. And unfortunately, I guess, there are a lot of people who don't know what doublespeak or newspeak means.
Right.
And the silver lining is they're buying
books. Now we get
books.
To learn about it.
They're buying books.
Yeah.
Yeah. They sold a lot.
They were running out of them.
1984.
1984 has made the New York Times bestseller list for the first time in 70 years.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's insane. I mean, it's great if you're a lover of literature and someone who...
If you're a lover of history and politics, maybe not such a good indication of a great time.
Well, I guess the hope is, you know, because I'm an optimist at the core of my rotten internal self.
It's real smelly in there.
You know, the hope is that people will read it and realize that that's not, you know, it's like Fight Club.
Right.
You know, Chuck Palahniuk didn't write Fight Club to be, you know, the hope for the future.
Right.
It wasn't right. a blueprint.
Right.
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 It was a dystopian idea of,
yeah.
of what would happen if, you know, white males were left in charge mm-hmm. and felt right. like victims.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's there's something like kind of heartening about this idea that when something like this comes up, like alternative facts, and everyone said, not everyone, but a lot of people say, like, whoa, dude, 1984, yeah. that other people responded by going, interesting.
Right.
Maybe it's time for me to read that book.
Yeah.
Like, it's, there's something about sort of turning to these cautionary tales that, I don't know, like, I love that people, it might have inspired people to read these stories that are so important and can be so, like, comforting and can That's, help you, like, make sense of what's going on and make sense of what's going on in your head, like, to be a little, like, moral compass or, like, beacon
right.
in the night for people. Like, I just love the idea that people who maybe had never read it or had heard of it but didn't really know what it was about and thought that it might have some relevance to current events, like, actually went out and bought that book.
Yeah. I mean, I've read 1984, and we were talking about before we started that I don't recall how the book ends. I remember reading it. I don't find these books comforting.
In times like these, is maybe the wrong word.
Beacon, not, a compass is a great word.
Yeah. I thought for a second about addressing the idea that you call it comforting, but I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
Familiar is maybe what I mean. Like, not comforting as in, like, I feel better, but sort of.
There's somebody who has yes. empathy with.
Yes. I think the comfort yeah. is found that what we're experiencing now is not new.
Right.
That there is
right.
I didn't check. I probably should have. But 1984 was written in the 1930s.
I think 37, I believe. Or 38.
And it was, you know, Orwell had his own, you know, he spent time in Indonesia as a reporter. There's a great essay about him killing an elephant in front of a bunch of natives.
Yeah.
And he was around for both World War I and World War II. Like, he lived through the Blitz mm-hmm. in World War II and knew what propaganda meant. And the comfort, I think, Zane, what you were saying is the idea that you feel comforted by the idea that you're not alone,
yes.
not just right now,
right,
but historically.
And these books always...
That these ideas of triumphing over
exactly.
this win out.
That there's a way to move through. That's what these books offer, is like, this could happen, but also maybe this is how we could get through it.
Because you both mentioned that during the break, and Josh, you just said,
yeah.
you don't remember how 1984 ended.
I just read it so long ago.
Yeah, well,
I'm going to spoil it because it's... You know, it's a 70-year-old novel.
Yeah. Yeah.
The ending is Winston, the main character, is brainwashed.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And
yeah.
and I'm almost certain that the last line of the novel is "I love Big Brother,"
mm-hmm.
because Winston fights and Winston subverts and Winston tries so hard to win, and what he learns in Room 101 is that there is no winning.
Right.
Because you're not actually fighting. Mm-hmm. That there is no, you know, the idea, it's like the idea of, you know, fighting cancer. You're not fighting an equal partner. You're,
right. It's not.
Right.
You can
right.
throw as much effort as you want against this thing, but at the end of the day, there is no victory for you.
Right.
Because you're up against something that doesn't acknowledge your existence.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I'm saying all of this to be optimistic. Seriously.
We'll get there.
Because the idea that there are now millions of people who are reading this novel who have
right.
never read it before
yeah.
are hopefully being awakened to the idea that we are not Winston.
Right.
And we're not fighting Big Brother.
Right.
I keep thinking that I'm glad that people went out and they bought 1984, because otherwise I would be wanting people to be buying Fahrenheit 451.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I keep thinking about, like, other ways that this could go.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that we're still open to information and open to learning.
Yeah.
Well, what did you, Josh, don't forget what you had mentioned during the break, too.
I said that I remember much more about A Brave New World and how I think that that's more applicable to this situation where there's, like, was it Aldous Huxley?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There's, like, tiers of humans, right? Like, where, like, I think black people are termed deltas, which are, it's like alpha, beta, gamma, delta, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like they're like tier four, which is pretty shitty. And alphas are like the anointed ones. They're the white elite.
This is white.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that feels like more what's happening right now.
Well, you had mentioned during the break that you don't remember a lot of 1984, and I feel like I can recite 1984 yeah. chapter and verse. My memory of A Brave New World is the difference between A Brave New World and 1984 is that 1984 is like this totalitarian, oppressive regime that you can't run from that yeah. is pushed on you.
It's total dictatorship. Yeah.
But A Brave New World feels much more like what we're doing now because yeah. A Brave New World is you choose it.
Yeah, like it's drug based. It's comfort based, I would say, like where like your comforts are the most important thing to you, and that's really where I think we're at right now.
There's a lot of distractions yes. in A Brave New World. Like yes. it's not the telescreen is always on in right. your room. It's you have the opportunity to take a pill,
ignore
to get
it.
You away from it. Mm-hmm. That you can just pretend
right.
that the things that are systematically destroying your life are not
doing that.
Not yeah. doing it, and yeah. that you're not a right. part of.
You're not a part of the problem.
Part of it,
right?
And I feel like that's the real concern I have with what's going on recently.
Yeah.
Is that you know we can be a part of it,
right?
You know, 3 million more people voted against our current administration
right.
than voted for it, and yet there's this, like, sort of resignation.
Yeah. There's, like, a narrative that, like, well, that's not the case. And it's like, well, I mean, yeah.
And, like,
yeah, that's a, again, it's a fact.
And I'm buoyed by the protests that I've seen. And, you know, without getting too crazy about all of it.
Right.
You know, A Brave New World feels much more applicable than 1984.
Yeah. Yeah.
But A Brave New World is also back on the New York Times bestseller list. So it's yeah. not exactly like people are only, you know.
Yeah, they're like you said, Zane, like Fahrenheit 451. I mean, I recently watched whatever your feelings on the movie or the – I watched V for Vendetta, which mm-hmm. is very applicable yeah. to this yeah. situation. The book also, not so much anymore. The book, the graphic novel is right. a little dated. I think there's a lot of
and the movie's flawed. Name? I mean, the movie's, yeah, the movie's flawed, whatever. But that's but, sure. whatever it is. I mean yeah. –
Brazil is another one if you want to get yeah. real depressed. Brazil's good.
Yeah.
I don't know. But, like, all this stuff, like, it's just going to come back and I think people are going to say, oh, that's why they wrote this.
Right.
And if that, if yeah. nothing else, that's important, you know.
Speaking of V for Vendetta, interestingly, John Hurt passed away.
Yeah.
I killed him.
Recently. Did you?
Yeah, because I was like, watching V for Vendetta the day before he died, and I was like, is John Hurt alive? And I looked him up, and I was like, oh, yeah, he is. And the next day, John Hurt died.
Oh,
so
man.
Sorry, John Hurt and Way your family.
Go. Way to go.
No, I think he just died.
I might have had something to do with it.
But there's a film version of 1984.
Yeah, yes. there is.
Where
yeah, yeah.
John Hurt plays Winston.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, if you like look into the making of that film,
mm-hmm.
it was shot in the neighborhood of London, where the novel was supposed to take place, and it was shot during the weeks of the year of 1984 when yeah. it was supposed to happen. Like, it was very,
they really went,
like, cinema verite
right,
kind of a
right,
thing.
Right, right.
But I just think it's interesting that, and he played Winston, and John Hurt played Winston in 1984, And in V for Vendetta,
he essentially played
Big Brother.
He plays Hitler or McCready, I think his name.
Yeah, but it's Big Brother. It's Big Brother. It's just the face,
right.
The face of the regime that is oppressing you.
Right.
And he played them both.
Great.
Fucking two.
Yeah. He's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was also in Indiana Jones 4.
Was he? Oh, that's right. He was the crazy guy.
He was the crazy guy. Yeah. And it's like, why is John Hurt playing this character in this movie?
Well, because Steven Spielberg called him and said, hey, I've got a part for you, Steven Spielberg.
Guys, Steven Spielberg.
He's Ollivander.
He's Ollivander.
Yeah, I know. That's the guy that makes wands, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I know. That's what I said.
But again, that's another thing. And I, not to get too into this or whatever, but I saw some things that J.K. Rowling said recently, and people are losing their shit about it.
Yeah, well, people are, like, back on, like...
She is cracking me the fuck.
She's hilarious.
If you don't follow her on Twitter, it is worth it. She is awesome. She's so accessible, and she is so funny and so smart. She's really, like, she's incredible. Follow her on Twitter if you don't already.
God's sake, get off her ball.
I can't. Sorry. She's a really cool lady.
I can't.
But people are back on like burning her book.
Yeah.
I saw her retweeting something where someone was like talking about like 666 showing up in her books, and she was like, "You fucking kidding me?
We're back at the witches.
Whoopity doo!
It's 1612.
Still getting on her books.
But the favorite one I read was like someone was like, "I'm gonna burn all your books," and she was like, "You already bought them. Here, borrow my lighter.
Yeah, I got your money.
I already have your money."
Right, that's what it was. Yeah.
But it's
so like, JK, please come on the show anytime you want. We love you so much.
Hell yeah.
But I mean, she was talking about like, you know, that book is about the rise of like
a totalitarian. That's what that book is.
So yeah. Okay, sure, burn them, whatever.
Sure, like you really proved the point.
Yeah,
and you know, I have my very strong political leanings, and the three of us have tried really hard to not make this show a political show.
Yeah, I'm not gonna tell you what to think or anything, but.
But we're also not hiding from the fact that we think the things that we think.
Right.
I don't know. The hope is that we're doing a show that is an escape from all that.
Yes.
But, you know, at week 81, it's hard to ignore the fact that a lot of people feel... It's tough, man.
It would be wrong of us not to talk about it on some level.
Right.
But I think... we were struggling before we started recording. We were kind of struggling with like how much to get into this because we want this to be like a space where you can kind of think about something else.
It's the fun zone. I call it the fun zone.
I think I have personally done a great job of it.
I think you've done a great job
keeping myself in the fun zone. Yeah,
get in the fun zone. That's a new saying.
I want you to get in my fun zone, Josh.
Which one
only
is
Josh?
It? There's only so much space.
Yeah, Zane.
Okay.
How much more zone do I think I have? God damn.
I mean.
Okay. All right.
Now let's take a break, because Zane's made it really fucking awkward.
Zane's disgusting.
God, Zane.
We'll be right back.
Cracking the Spine, episode 81. I am Josh.
I am Sean.
And I'm Zane.
And we have not mentioned the fact that this is the Terrell Owens episode.
That's right, it is.
Of Cracking the Spine.
Or the Randy Moss when he played for the Patriots.
Was he 81 on the Patriots?
I think so, yes.
Oh, okay.
I miss when we had real number facts.
We just had two real number facts.
Those are two real facts.
Also, it's 9 squared.
It is 9 squared. Do you know
which
your square
Josh
is the 15?
Loves that.
I know I'm the 15.
I know them to 9 and 10.
You know 10. Yeah.
Yeah.
11's easy.
Nope.
121.
Sure.
12, 144.
Okay.
13, 169. 14, 196. They switch. 15, 225.
Right. I didn't miss real, like, number facts.
There you go.
Well, it sounded like you did because you specifically said
well,
that you did
you know
miss real number
I
facts.
I changed my mind.
You're allowed to
That's
do that.
That's your prerogative. It's wrong, but.
It's Zane's prerogative.
I love that song.
She can do what she wanna do. It's Zane's prerogative. Live Zane's life.
All right, so last week...
We have emails.
What is some money emails in my pocket? People can't tell me I'm not be wrong. Listen, this is my prerogative.
Oh, my God.
I made this money, not you. Right, Teddy?
Bobby Brown over here.
We out of here.
Lloyd Crichton wrote us to say, I just wanted to say thank you to Sean. After hearing you bang on about The Lies of Locke Lamora, I went out and bought it. I've had the hardest time staying interested in any book for about 4 years now, and this book has just gripped me like I haven't had before.
Oh.
I sorely miss reading, and I think you just rekindled my love for it. Also, I haven't finished it yet.
That's nice.
Though this was last week.
Yeah, so he probably is done.
So don't go checking spoilers about. Zane and Josh are cool, too.
I'm sorry, his name was Lloyd?
Lloyd Crichton.
Lloyd, yeah. No, dude, don't thank me for The Lies of Locke Lamora. Thanks Scott Lynch, at Scott Lynch. He's an incredible author. That's the first of a planned 7-book series. You can read all 3 of them. He also has some short stories out there. But, man. Great, great, great novel.
Thank you for emailing us.
Yeah,
for real. I think you're cool. 3.
I get it.
Did either of you read Lies of Locke Lamora?
No.
I can't remember.
No.
I think my mom did. Zane read that.
No, you didn't. Okay. I think you made everyone else in my family read it, but not me.
And did you make my mom read it?
I don't know if I made them. I think, actually, Paige read it. My wife read it before I did. Paige turned me onto it. Yeah.
Paige is Zane's sister.
Yeah. They know, Josh.
Okay. I don't know. I didn't know until, 2 weeks ago.
So.
2 weeks or two cracking the.
Whatever.
9 weeks.
They're the same thing.
Yeah. Okay.
So we're always looking for topics for next week.
Yeah.
So feel free to email us or hit us up on Twitter or on the subreddit.
Facebook, Twitter, crackingthespinepod@gmail.com.
crackingthespineshow@gmail.com.
You fucking kidding me?
@crackingspine. But the Reddit is, crackingthespinepod.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Oh, do we still have a Reddit?
Yeah.
Yeah, man, Mr. Peoples. I was talking to him on there. He said that I said something really intelligent. And then I said, I only play an idiot on television. He said, there it is. And I was like, Mr. Peoples, 25, I'm going to kiss your mouth off. You talk to your mom with that mouth, Mr. Peoples, 25.
So when...
Kiss you into the damn dirt.
I like that always pluralizes.
When's the bachelor party? Because it sounds like... You guys are
a thing? Love. Probably. That's what that is.
Right.
In certain countries, we'd be married by now.
But we do love feedback, and send it to us.
Yeah.
Do it. We love you.
Thank you.
Happy almost Valentine's Day.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And for Valentine's Day this year, guys, we've got a lot planned for the show.
We do?
We sure do.
I believe it.
Wait till you see.
I do.
Wait till you hear.
That's what I mean. Zane's got it figured out in her little notebook that she doesn't allow me to kiss.
You were trying to lick it.
That's how kissing works when you're a grown-up, Zane.
Yeah, kissing's kind of just like glorified licking, really.
It's just licking parts that keep...
Okay, all right.
Yeah, you do the back of the tooth. You do the back of the tooth lick when you kiss someone.
Stop.
Ew, no, that's gross.
I do that. Just to freak them out.
No one cares.
That's just being human floss.
Thanks for listening. We sure do miss you a lot.
But we'll talk more next week.
Yeah, next week.
7 days from now.
Also, if you hound us more about recording more often, maybe we'll do it.
I want to.
Do it more. Tell us. Yell at us.
Yeah.
Do it.
All right.
Bye. Facebook. Twitter.
Check them out. Books. Check them out. At your library.